Old Testament reading is from the prophet Isaiah in the middle of the 55th chapter. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the mystic, the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is in the 8th chapter of Romans. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Often parables use metaphors to make their point. And this parable of the sower is a prime example. The sower, the man or woman casting the seed, is a metaphor for Jesus, or for anyone faithfully and accurately proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. The seed that's spread around is a metaphor for the word of the kingdom, another way to say the gospel of Jesus, the good news of God's forgiveness and favor. And the different types of soils are metaphors for different people who have different reactions to the seed or the gospel, the good news of God's forgiveness. The good soil, Jesus says, are the people who hear the gospel and understand it. And as a result, they bear fruit. So what about you and me? Are we good soil? What kind of people are good soil? What kind of people hear the message of Jesus, the gospel of God's forgiveness, and understand it? You know, that's a pretty easy question to answer. There's evidence after evidence after evidence in the Bible of exactly who it is who hears the message of Jesus and understands it. The answer is easy to find. But at the same time, the answer is shocking. For example, in Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son ends with an absolutely outrageous scene. The enraged older son, seething with indignity, was screaming at his father, a metaphor for God. He was screaming at his father because, as the older son accurately claimed, "I have never disobeyed you, Father." And yet the younger son, who insulted and disgraced his father, again, the father is a metaphor for God, the son who demanded his inheritance early, the son who squandered every dime his father gave him on booze and prostitutes, he was the one the father threw a lavish party for, a party that serves as a metaphor for heaven. It's that younger son, the son who did everything wrong, who treated his father so poorly, who was so self-centered and disobedient. He's the one at the end of the parable who's dancing at the party that represents heaven. Well, the older son, who never disobeyed his father, is standing outside heaven, seething with rage. So which one hears the gospel and understands it? Here's a clue. It's not the one who never disobeyed God. In Luke 16, Jesus told another parable. This one about a very rich man, a pillar of the community, respected by everyone, a guy who came from a wealthy family, admired for their work ethic and their success in business. He was a guy who most of us would envy. Every one of us, in fact, would envy him. Except for one very unfortunate detail. Through no fault of his own, this hard-working example of industriousness and persistence, he suffered the indignity of having a homeless person camping on the sidewalk right in front of his mansion. We even know the name of the homeless man. His name was Lazarus. The text gives us no clue as to why this Lazarus was homeless. But he was probably either addicted to drugs or booze or mentally ill. You know, one of those. Or maybe he was just lazy. He didn't want to work. Or had no skills and no drive to get the skills he needed. Or maybe he was just one of those people who preferred to live on a sidewalk. If they're actually is anyone like that, which I doubt. Making it even worse for the rich man, this homeless guy had a very obvious skin disease, so bad it was killing him. He had open, festering sores that were not only disgusting to look at, but they also emitted an odor. The rich man tried, but couldn't get rid of the homeless guy on the sidewalk. And obviously, the value of the rich man's property was taking a beating. All the rich man could do was wait for him to die. And Lazarus did die and went to heaven, where in the parable, Lazarus, the formerly homeless man, was now cared for personally by the great patriarch of the Bible, Abraham. And then the rich man died, but he went to hell, where, it says in Luke 16, he was in torment and no one could help him. So in this parable, we know who went to heaven and who went to hell. But why? Did Lazarus represent good soil who heard and understood the gospel just because he was deeply impoverished? If that's the case, where does that leave you and me? In Luke 18, there's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, where the highly esteemed and respected Pharisee, known for his high level of education and his piety and his respect for God, he went to the temple with a tax collector to pray. And that's a highly improbable situation, that a Pharisee in first century Israel would go to the temple with a tax collector. They came from opposite ends of the societal spectrum. Pharisees were highly esteemed. Tax collectors were universally hated because they collected taxes from their fellow Jews and the money went to the hated Romans who occupied Israel militarily. So tax collectors were considered traitors to Judaism, while Pharisees were thought of as pillars of Judaism. But this is a parable. Anything can happen. So the Pharisee and the tax collector went to the temple to pray, and the Pharisees prayed like this: I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or especially this tax collector. I fast not once, but twice a week, and I always give a tenth of all I get. End of prayer. Then the hated tax collector prayed, God forgive me, for I am a sinner. End of prayer. Then Jesus, who was telling the parable, shocked everybody with the punchline. He said, it was the hated tax collector, not the esteemed Pharisee, who went back home justified. Well, what does that mean, justified? It's a legal term. It means declared innocent or not guilty. So what Jesus was saying is that God forgave the hated tax collector, but not the esteemed Pharisee. In fact, God declared the tax collector innocent, but not the Pharisee. And here's why that's really fascinating. When God justifies someone, the closest human equivalent is when a judge concludes a trial by slamming his or her gavel down, declaring the defendant not guilty. What's fascinating is that sometimes in a court of law, the defendant who is declared not guilty actually is guilty. Mistakes happen. I'm sure it happens more than anyone would like, unless you happen to be a criminal defense attorney. But listen to this. When we confess our sin and seek forgiveness from God, like we did earlier this morning, and God forgives us and justifies us, God is declaring us innocent, despite the fact that we are guilty. We're guilty because all of us have sinned this past week in thought, word, and deed. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. There's no getting around the truth of our guilt. But God has declared you innocent anyway. And he's imputed to you or credited to you the righteousness of Christ. Read Romans 5. But back to our original question. What kind of people are good soil? What kind of people are likely to hear God's word and understand it? People who understand their own desperate need for God's mercy, compassion, forgiveness, and favor in their lives. People who see themselves accurately as sinners, and they long to be justified, declared not guilty, even when they are guilty. People who recognize they have nowhere else to turn. Those are the people who are good soil for the seed of the gospel of Jesus. One more thing. In Psalm 103, we're reminded, the Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion toward those who fear him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us who are sinful. Lord, help us to recognize, to some degree at least, the magnitude of what you've done for us. And Lord, cause that to fill us with humility and kindness toward others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.